Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
God's marvellous plan for the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifest wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities of the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Thanks be to God.
I say good morning again. For those that I haven't met before, my name is Randall and I'm on the ministry team here. When Rod booked in his leave, I said, "Oh, Rod, but you realize I've got a few Sundays off, and so if you missed me last Sunday, I was away for a week of study leave, and so I'm really thankful that we've got such a great community of people here that enabled me to still go off and spend that study leave." And so Bob led the 8 a.m. service, and that was really good, and Chantel preached 8 and 10, and Heidi preached 5. Let me encourage you, if you didn't listen to any of those sermons, tune into the podcast. They were really great sermons, so do tune in to what God had to say through them last week. For me, it was a really good time away, and I scheduled the time in because I knew I needed a time with the Lord to really sow into that relationship so that as I lead here, I've got a well from which to draw from. And so part of the prayer that I've been praying leading up to this time of retreat was the prayer from Ephesians 3, which just follows the passage that we heard this morning, about knowing the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of the love of God. And so I'd spent probably a month each day making that one of the core prayers that I was praying on my knees before the Lord, and just praying, "Lord, increase my understanding of your love." You talk about how it's immeasurable, and there's this prayer that will be filled to the fullness of it, that you're able to do more than I can think or imagine. And so, Lord, I was praying, I want you to do that. I want you to expand my heart, so to speak, so that there's more capacity for love, so that I could love others better, that I would know his love more in order to love others better. That there'd be a sense in which my heart was changed so that I could show his love better. And so I got into the conference with this hunger, and this hunger was just resting there, and there was a deep hunger and desire to spend lots of time in the Lord's presence. And so across the week, I spent a lot of time reading and listening and thinking, but even more so just praying and just sitting, soaking to music in the Lord's presence, remembering his goodness. And it hit the Friday night of this conference. As the conference was finishing up, I was back in the hotel room alone, and the hunger that I had, it wasn't yet filled. The thirst that was there wasn't quenched. And I was sitting there and sort of reflecting on what went on and some of the reasons why maybe that wasn't the case. I'd gone into the conference, and one of the reasons I went across, it was in New Zealand. Sean Boltz is someone that I've been following. He's got some great things to teach about the love of God and the gift of prophecy, and I wanted to see him. So I was in Auckland, New Zealand to see him, and I'd had this dream a week and a half before, and in the dream, he called me out by my name, based on this connection with Randall from Monsters, Inc. And so first session went, I was waiting for him to call me out. Didn't happen. Second session went, waiting for him to call me out. Didn't happen. Third session came and he gave like one word at the end and then walked off because he had to head off to Brisbane for another conference. And felt this level of disappointment, this Friday morning session. And So I went away and I spent the lunchtime by myself. There was a two-hour break and I just kind of spent, this album called Home that I love to listen to, just soaking in God's presence. And it's just a reflective journey through the love of God, someone reminding you with words, and there's quiet music. And I kind of almost fell asleep in that moment and just rested in God's presence. I knew that God had brought me there to hear the message that Sean had to speak. I just kind of wanted to be called out the way I've seen it happen. Well, one of the reasons I had a confidence that was still God speaking through the dream is probably exactly a year before, I'd been to another conference with Jamie Galloway, had another dream, and in this dream, he'd picked me out from the crowd, and the power had gone out, and he picked me out, and he had a word for me. Now, I turned up the next day to that conference, and turned up to the facilities, the power had gone out. I'm like, oh. And then same thing happened. Like, I didn't get picked out with a specific word, but the message that the person spoke directly to me. And so there's a pattern there. So next time I have a dream about someone calling me out, I'm just going to listen to what they have to say and not expect them to actually call me out. But so that was, there's a little bit of disappointment there. I think one of the reasons why we like to be called out in front of others and given an encouraging word is we really love to hear words of approval, and we love the approval that flows from others seeing that we are approved of. And so there's little bits of that floating around. So as I lay there, they had these really cool beanbags out the front on the docks down there in Auckland. And so I was sitting there, had a really nice healthy lunch and kind of almost fell asleep. And I felt the Lord's prompt just pull me out of a deeper sleep. And I looked at my watch and just realized, oh, I better get back. And I just felt the Lord prompting me, go back. This is where I want you to be. And so as the next guy came up and gave his message, I'd never heard him before, never actually heard of him. And as he got up to speak and I was listening to him, the Lord said to me, I brought you here to hear this man. And so the Lord said to me, would you have come if I'd asked you to come and listen to what this guy had to say? And I said, no. Of course I wouldn't. It's New Zealand. Like I was missing my family, and it was a longish sort of week. And the Lord said, "Well, no, I brought you here to sit under His teaching. I want you to listen to what He has to say." And so I listened to what He had to say. He had a really great message about interruption and how when sometimes other things that God is doing seem to get in the way of what you think He needs to do in your own life. And it connected really well with where I was at. But there's a sense of this ongoing connection that the Lord wanted to build there. So I come away from this day with a sense of almost deflation that I hadn't received exactly what I thought that I was going to the conference in order to receive. And so I sat down on the couch in this nice little Airbnb place, and it was fantastic. And I turned on a film that I downloaded a few films to watch whilst I was over there. And as I was watching through the film, it hit this scene where the father of this girl connected with her, and he was talking about some of the reasons why he'd parented the way that he had parented, why he'd been a father the way he'd been a father, and some of the shame and the baggage and the stuff that had sat there. And as they were having this deep emotional connection, something just kind of broke in me. And I realized that this journey of understanding the fatherhood of God was, God was just taking me to a new depth of understanding across this week. And so when I cry and when I break, it's not clean. There's not like this gentle little tear dropping down. It's kind of messy. And so there's a bit of messiness there as I kind of grieve the lack of this connection. For those that don't know, my dad left before I was two. My first memory of a father figure was a babysitter offering me a hamburger whilst my mum was out. And for me, the last three years has been a real journey of coming to know the fatherhood of God, understanding what it means to have a perfectly heavenly father, understanding what his love means and how it transforms. I mean, I look at life and there's been a deep desire for father figures, but let's face it, no earthly father ever measures up, whether they're biological, whether they're my stepdad who did an amazing job of raising me and my sister and the other kids. No earthly father really measures up. And when we start to get to know a heavenly father, there's kind of a grief that comes with that as we realize that maybe we haven't quite had what we needed in order to grow up and grow into who we fully are meant to be. You see, part of the role of a father in the life of a child is to form and shape and develop the identity, to speak those identity-giving words that enables the child to grow up into who they're called to be. It's to speak those words of challenge and life in order to draw the child up, to stretch but not strain so that they may step into what God the Father has for them. And when you don't have that from an earthly father or a spiritual father, there's a void of something that was missing, that was not received. When they talk about trauma, there's two types of trauma. There's trauma that's done directly to you. And so some of you have experienced that in terms of the abuse of fathers. But then there's also the trauma of not having had. So the passive, the distant father. The absence of what you need. And so that's real trauma, a real gap that's left in our life that in order to fully function and be whole as a person needs really to be healed. And so God's been taking me on this journey of healing. And so here I was in the hotel room kind of making a mess of myself. And that was okay. It was this just grief that I hadn't had the space to pour out, as I sort of hit a point of going, okay, I think I've done this enough. It's probably 5 minutes. Might have been 20. I'm not sure. But I hit this point, and then the Spirit just brought to mind, I've been calling, for some reason I've been confusing the name of this guy that God brought me to see at the conference with David. Every time, in my notes is written David. And halfway through the conference, I realized his name wasn't David. And so I had this little track in my brain going, must correct this little brain track so in case I actually talk to him, I don't say David instead of his actual name. And so I was reminded of this by the Spirit, and then it dropped. Another thing, my biological dad is actually called David. So this was another moment where more tears, more hankies. I'm a hankies person. I think they're better, just by the way, life advice. but it just dropped in that moment, and I realized that God had brought me in connection with this person, and he was pointing him out and saying, this is a spiritual father I want you to learn from. This is someone that knows what it looks like to be a son of your heavenly father. He's someone that you can learn from in order that you may grow as a son as well. And so the next day I had a day, and I was like, I woke up feeling really drained from all this grief that had just been poured out. And so I planned to go off and have a bit of fun, go and see one of the islands or whatever. I didn't. I ended up having this really amazing opportunity. There was a spa and at the place where I was staying, and I hopped in, and there's another guy sitting in there, and I almost slipped over as I went to hop in. And with that was a brilliant opener to a conversation. And so we started talking, and he started telling me about his life. I love to just hear people's stories, ask questions. And then he started asking, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. And that's usually a key for people that either shut off or open up. And he opened wide up about how his life had just been this story of brokenness. And then he had this little realization moment himself where he's like, oh my gosh, this is the first day that I've actually started to feel good about myself. He'd moved over from far away and was just trying to sort life out. And here I am sitting with a pastor in a spa. And I was just thankful to the goodness of God in leading that opportunity for him to just encounter some of God's love through me. Because we all need to hear about God's love. And there's so many people out here, out in the world like him that are broken, that just don't have the opportunity. And so I had that day. The next day I went to church. I'd already planned to go and visit this guy's church. Went, sat there in the worship. I was behind him, worshipped behind him. All the songs were about God the Father. And so I was there. I was worshipping God. And one of their new songs is called Collide. It's a really good song. You can look it up on Spotify. But it talks about the rescuing love of the Father. And so I'm standing behind, worshipping, and more tears. Nice little salt path down my cheeks at that point. And there was a sense of what I felt like in my heart was I was home. You know what people are looking for in this world? They're looking for home. Our people are in broken homes. They're looking for whole homes. In this moment in worship, as I stood there, I felt home. See, when there's spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers in the faith, the environment, the atmosphere that they create is one of home. When we gather here as one family, it's not just something to say, well, we're one family in God. There should be something about the atmosphere and the environment that we're building here as we seek to be one family that when people walk into it, there's a sense of home. And it's not that there was anything special about him. It's who he knew. It's the Father in heaven that delights to bring his presence and create this atmosphere of love and home. You see, when we look at our homes growing up, none of our homes were perfect. There was times where we didn't want to be a part of our home, where our home didn't give us what we met, where our parents didn't meet our needs. And this is meant to be a foretaste of the heavenly home that our Father in heaven is leading us all to. He sent his Son to reconcile us to him that we may be part of his family. Jesus, when he goes away, he says, don't worry because I'm going to prepare a home in heaven for you. And so when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, Lord, bring some of home here, that I may feel at home in your presence, that this sense of longing and need for home is satisfied in and amongst your people. When we reach out to people with the good news about Jesus, we're reaching out with the good news that their Father in heaven is calling them home. See, it's not just that people are saved from the wrong things that they have done. It's that the wrong things that they have done have separated them from the love that they were made to experience. And so when we go out and we reach out to people, we need a point that there is a Father in heaven who loves you, wants to share his love with you, and he's calling you home. He wants you to be part of a family that is growing into the image of a perfect family. You see, Jesus was the perfect Son. The Father's the perfect Father, and the Spirit sweeps us up and invites us to be a part of the family. As we receive the Spirit echoes in our heart that cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. As you receive the Spirit, there's this acknowledgement in you, I am a son. I am a daughter. You come into relationship with the Father, and the Father says, you're home. And so that's who we are called to be, a bit of what we are called to be. And In order to be able to be that kind of family, we need to be spiritual mothers and fathers. We need to grow up within this as a church, spiritual fathers and mothers, because what do they produce? Sons and daughters. Now, there's nothing special about anyone that has hit a place of maturity. It's just that they've figured out how to be a son of God. They've figured out how to be a daughter of God, and they can teach others how to do that. Because fathers and mothers produce more sons and daughters, and we see this multiplication of love. And it's not that the father's love's not perfect, and it's just that he designed us to experience love through each other. And so we need this human representation of love in order to fully understand the love of the Father that has for us. You see, we love as we've been loved, but each of us has a different experience of God's love that we get to share with each other. See, God's love is immeasurably greater than we can think or imagine. And if it's immeasurably greater than we can think or imagine, then that means there's more love than all of your hearts, our hearts, can contain. And so if there's more love than all of our hearts can contain, then we need to share the bit of love that we have in order to represent that immeasurable love of God well to each other. And so the call for all of us is to grow in a knowledge and an understanding of that love so we can represent that love to the world. You see, when we represent, we represent. And it needs representing, because when the world thinks of God the Father, who do they think of? They think of a father that is angry. They think of a father that is distant. They think of a father that is absent. They think of the Father, God the Father, through the filter of their own experience of fatherhood in life. And none of it's perfect. And so there's this calling, I sense, from God for all of us to step up and be spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. And I just want to go through a few of the things that I think really reflect what it means to be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. You see, spiritual, I'm going to talk about it in terms of dads, but I think a lot of it applies to mums. You see, the image of God needs both men and women to be represented fully. God created man and woman in his image. So I'm going to speak of dads, but I'm not neglecting mums. You get a day later on next year. But spiritual dads are called to be leaders. Age isn't an indicator that someone's a spiritual father. An indicator that you're a spiritual father is that you've got sons and daughters learning what it means to be sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. That's an indicator that you're a spiritual father. Others are following you as you follow Jesus, as he teaches you how to relate to God the Father. Spiritual dads are forerunners. They're kingdom extenders, workplace transformers. They see the potential for the kingdom to be expanded. You see, fathers carry the heart of our Father in heaven. And what's the heart of our Father in heaven? It's that all people will come to a knowledge of the truth. All people will be reconciled. His heart is for the lost sheep. He'll leave the 99 and go for the one. His heart is that all people will. He desires all people to come to a knowledge of his truth. He desires his love to be understood by this world. And so spiritual fathers carry that heart of the Father and so desire the kingdom to be expanded so that more of the world will be enveloped in the love of the Father. Spiritual dads are protectors, they're advocates, they're providers. Ultimately, a spiritual father or mother lives for the next generation. They live for the next generation, that the next generation will take the spiritual heritage that they've gained in the kingdom and move from that place. You see, we have an opportunity to sow into the next generation wherever we're at, to create a new baseline for what it looks like to live in this world as a son or a daughter of God. And so I love this line from a song that says, the guy talks about all of his brokenness and he says, "Let my son be a better man than me." And so that's been my prayer for Hamish as I've been seeking to parent him. Let my son be a better man than me. May my victories be his victories. May the fights I've fought be fights that he doesn't have to fight because I've fought them. May I create for him a new floor, that my ceiling will be his floor and that he will be able to build on that. And I pray that for all of our kids, all of us. In fact, the victories that we win are not just victories for ourselves, they're victories to share. And so one of the reasons I really wanted to share with you about this journey of God taking me and understanding how he loves us as a father was because this journey that God's taken me on is not just for me, it's for you. That you may learn what it looks like to have a relationship with the Father. Four keys to hearing God is part of us understanding how to have a relationship with the Father. I think this is going to be integral for you growing in your understanding of the Father's love. So do prioritize that and be a part of that. But our victories are not just for us. They're for the next generation. And so anything we gain in life is something that we can give away. And so spiritual dads about spiritual generations, not just biological, but spiritual. In Scripture it says, salvation and mercy extends from generation to generation. Blessing flows from generation to generation. The plans of the Father's hearts are to all generations. His renown endures through all generations. His faithfulness is from generation to generation. Spiritual heritage is passed from generation to generation. You see, each of us carries stuff that is given to us in order to pass down biological as well as spiritual generations, that the generations that follow us will benefit from what we have gained in the kingdom. And so spiritual mums and dads live for the generation that is to come. And their aspiration is that the generations to come would have higher heights, deeper depths, wider breadths in their understanding of the love of God, that the love of God may reach out to the world, that there may be this awakening in the world to the love of God. Our spiritual dads, this is some of the character of their dads, walk closely and intimately with the Father in heaven, valuing this intimacy above all, have a closeness in their sense of God's presence, show what loving those who are weaker looks like, have no need to compete, judge, and handle others' faults with grace and mercy without criticism, are compassionate peacemakers who make people feel understood and known, make people feel valued. Our spiritual dads are great at celebrating others, actively live out their journey of learning and growing, demonstrating an active submission to God and a teachability in life. Invest in others, stretching without straining, full of patience and love and grace and mercy in the way that they invest in others, wanting to give away all that they've learnt. Spiritual dads feel totally accepted and fully at rest, respond to correction with maturity and a desire to grow, model healthy authority and what it looks like to sit under authority as well as what it looks like to exercise authority, model taking the kingdom by force and yet also model bringing the kingdom in love, knowing that their war is not against flesh and blood. Spiritual dads know how to constrain passion into productivity and produce results. At the same level, they understand ungodly passion and know how to deal with unrighteous anger and have the roots of it plucked out so that it won't infect generations to come. Spiritual dads are good at hearing and obeying. They love adventure and fun. They're good at speaking words of life and blessing you're approved of. They're good at establishing identity and maturity and security in others. Spiritual dads are those who have learned what it means to be a son and teaching others what it means to be a son of their Father in heaven. That's just some of the things of what it means to be a spiritual dad. The world's looking for a revelation of what it means to be a son or daughter of God. We get to be that revelation for them. The reason I picked this passage from Ephesians 3 today really came down to one verse. It really has changed my perspective on evangelism and our role in evangelism. Verse 10 of chapter 3 in Ephesians says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we often think about reaching out to others with the love of God, we think about just doing acts of love, demonstrating love, showing people how that they are loved. But I don't think we can do it apart from words. Because verse 10 says, his intent was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. You see, the rulers and authorities, it's not talking about political leaders or anything like that. It's talking about the spiritual rulers. It's talking about angels and demons and spirits. In a sense, they're the ones that get in the way of people coming to know God. And so there's this declaration that we are called to make to the spiritual realms. There is a good Father in heaven. He is a loving Father, and he desires for his children to come home. There is a good Father who has a perfect love that will wash over all the love, all the brokenness, all the love that was missing. There's a good Father that wants to restore you into what it looks like to be home. And so there's this declaration that we are called to make, and it's not just to the people in this world, it's to the heavenly authorities that have a legal right, because people are believing that there is not a good Father. And so we have this responsibility of calling people and saying, there's a good Father. There's a good God. He's a loving God. He loves you, and he's pursuing you, and he wants you to be a part of his life, his family, and his family is the church, and he's inviting you in. And so we have this role of declaration, and I believe as we speak words in evangelism, not just do acts, that is the way to see people come to know the Father. And so when we represent the Father, we need to talk about the Father. We need to talk about a Heavenly Father. If that's hard for you to do, and it was for me, I used to struggle when people prayed to Heavenly Father because I just had no connection with that understanding. Then we need to do the work of coming to an understanding of who our Father is, dealing with our daddy issue baggage, and coming to a wholeness in our relationship with him so we can represent him to the world. And so I think this is part of the journey that the Father really wants to take us on as a church, knowing his love so that we may show and share his love to the world. Now, as we bring this to a close, let me talk about Father's Day, the role of earthly fathers representing the Father. I think one of the key ways in which earthly fathers represent the Father is speaking words of blessing and life. So this Father's Day, my encouragement to you is to speak words of blessing and life. Fathers, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, God's put you in a place of responsibility to speak words of blessing and life. We're going to watch a short clip, then I'm going to speak a little bit more, then the band is going to come up and we're going to sing.
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Oh, man.
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Oh, man. Dad, what about me makes you proud?
And I have to answer that one?
Yes.
Just about everything that you do.
You're loving. You're funny. I could go on and on.
What makes me proud about you is you just being yourself.
I had trouble with alcohol. It was actually an intervention. Even with all the other people there, you were the real reason that I made the decision to go into the treatment center that I did. And thank you.
Thank you. You're helpful. Yeah. You forgot the funny part.
Your attention to hygiene.
Dad, I am grateful to you for choosing to stay when I was little. Why am I crying?
At the time when I'm graduating and I'm packing up and leaving, then it's really gonna hit me. And
I think about a time when if you're not around, like, that would be awful. But, like, you're the person that would always laugh.
Dad, I'm grateful because we didn't know how long you were going to be with us, so we're so happy that you're still here. Dad, I'm proud of you for knowing that the most important thing was to just give your kids so much time.
I've always been impressed by you. You made it easy.
Thanks.
I miss having the chance to just check in with you. I miss your sketchbooks.
I love you.
I love you too.
You got it. We don't say it enough.
Hey.
I love you, Dad.
It doesn't compute until they're gone. So tell them now.
So fathers, children need to hear those words. You're approved. Everything the enemy is doing in this world is to just deconstruct families so that the kids will grow up fatherless, disconnected from that earthly representative of what he designed as a good grace to represent him in this world. Children need to be encouraged, need to have that heavenly identity sewn into them. Fathers, you have a responsibility to speak heavenly blessing, heavenly love, heavenly approval into the sons and daughters. Spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, there is a responsibility and a calling for us all. Part of us growing up into spiritual fatherhood and spiritual motherhood is that willingness to actually recklessly pursue the heart of our Father in heaven, to recklessly pursue what it means to know him, what it means to have a relationship with him, what it means to be intimate with him. See, intimacy is not a thing that we as guys should be scared of. See, it's when we pursue that intimacy with the Father, we come to a place of vulnerability. And do you know what? Like we as fathers, we want to be approved of. We want our kids to say you've done a good job, our wives to say you do all right as a dad. And the challenge for us as dads is we want to appear perfect in doing that. But actually, the path to growth, the path for us as fathers is a pathway of vulnerability, recognizing where we need to grow, sharing that journey with our kids, both biological and spiritual, that they would see that the victories that we have won have been fought for and won through a perfectly heavenly Father. And so the calling for us as dads is to wholeheartedly pursue what it means to be a son of our Father in heaven. And so I'm going to pray, if Ben can come up. And so, Lord, we just, as we come and celebrate Father's Day, we recognize fathers aren't perfect, but you are. We recognize, Lord, that you call us into a place of intimacy with you. Today, Lord, we choose your pursuit of us and to respond to it. For those that are fathers, those that want to pray with me, I'd like to just pray a little prayer confession. If you want to repeat the lines after me, just where you're at. Father in heaven, forgive me for not representing your love to those who look to me. Forgive me for not looking to your love to satisfy me. I confess that I need to know more of your love. I make the decision to break from living out the unhealthy patterns of my forefathers. I choose to pursue you as the source and pattern of true fatherly love. In Jesus' name. This is a confession for all. For all of us, as we just come before our perfect Heavenly Father, and when we don't get approval from fathers, we look for approval to others. We look for approval in this world, and when we're not getting approval from the right place, we seek it from the wrong place. And so there's just a calling for all of us to return to the Father and to receive His approval and love. And so if you'd like to pray with the words after me, Father, I recognize that You're the perfect Father. I ask You for forgiveness for believing that You are less than perfect. I choose to forgive those who've contributed to ungodly beliefs about You. I forgive all who have failed to represent Your fatherhood well, both my earthly father and all those who have played the role of father figures. I release them from my judgments, and I recognize and thank them for doing the best they could with what they had. I ask Your forgiveness, Father, for living my life based on false images about You, and for any ways in which I have judged You and others because of it. I renounce and break my agreement with the power of darkness behind this belief, and I put my trust in You. Lead me on a journey of discovering the height, width, depth, and breadth of Your love. Lead me on a journey of healing to discover the perfection of Your love for me. Lead me to love others like You do. In Jesus' name. And so, Father, we thank You for Your perfect love. We thank You for Your wholeness. We thank You for Your healing. We thank You that You're here to restore us, to call us back. Lord, we hear Your call this morning. Your call to return to You as the perfect Father, to be restored, to be reunited. And as sons and daughters, we receive that invitation to come home. As You call us, Lord, we know that You will answer us, that You receive us through Your Son. And so we look to You. We look to Your love, Your perfection, Your life. And we choose to come home and ask that You take us on this journey of what it looks like to be a home where You live, Father. As it is in heaven, so may it be on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand. We're going to just sing and celebrate the reckless love of our Father. So kind.